But reading in Isaiah 59 is just kind of this prophetic declaration of God finding no man to be able to do what needed to be done and how God would do it himself. And this brings salvation. And this is where we get in Ephesians chapter 6 where Paul gets this. But he said, here's what he did. His own arm brought salvation and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, the helmet of salvation on his head, put on garments of vengeance for clothing. He wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. And according to their deeds, he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the coastlands he will make recompense. They will fear the name of the Lord, his glory from the rising of the sun, and he will come like this rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. A redeemer will come to Zion. So it's really cool here, the Lord. And remember, God's adversary is the enemy, was the enemy, right? God is not angry with people. People really get that mixed up. You know, the Lord's not angry with people. He's angry with the enemy, right? And his anger was brought out on what sin has done to people. Not people. So his wrath was against the enemy. The wrath was against what sin has done to people. But God so loved the world, right? And but anyway, which got me thinking, reading this about Jesus doing what it took, and a real encouragement to me that Jesus is still doing this on our behalf when it comes to the armor of God, right? And at the end of Ephesians chapter 6, end of the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, his admonition, encouragement to us is, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And he tells Timothy, when Paul writes Timothy, he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to be strong in grace, right? Always encouragement to me about the grace is everything that God has in Christ Jesus, right? That's what I'm to be strong in, grace. Not, hey, be strong for the Lord, but be strong in grace and be strong in the strength of his might. But you can't really understand the armor of God unless you understand what Paul has been talking to the Ephesians about from the get-go, which is every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? We're seated in the heavens. Everything is about being in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, right? And same thing with the armor of God. And used to, I would think, and it's okay if you pray this way. You know, the Lord honors that. He's so good. But if I have to pray the armor, every day I'm going to put on this armor, right? At what point in time does it fall off of me, right? Now, if I have to put it on like I would put on a hat, you know, and at the end of the day I take my hat off and then I have to put it back on, right? It would be up to me to take it on, put it off, take. But at some point in time, if we view it like that, then it must at some time lose its power or fall off of us, right? But the truth is, it never falls off of us, because the armor is a person, right? It's the armor of God, which is Christ Jesus. Because if I put on and take off everything Scripture says, I would be just having to put on a ton of stuff all the time. But actually, it says in Galatians chapter 3, which is a cool verse here, that we're all sons of God through faith in Christ. You are all baptized into Christ Jesus, right? For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus, it says, you have clothed yourself with Christ, right? If you've been baptized into Christ, which you have, if you're born again, you've been baptized into Christ. It's like, went into, if I'm Jesus up here, you went into me, right? You're here. You're clothed with me, right? Just like I've got this. And we wear this. You always wonder, why do they wear dresses, right? Everything we do in here is a prophetic sign, right? It speaks of something in the heavens. It's not just something we do, and it's not religious. You know, people, a religious spirit has really duped people, and I hate even the term, because people use religious spirit of anything that looks any kind of organization, it's a religious spirit. That's nonsense, right? God is a God of order. A religious spirit is the very foundation of it is for us to do it on our own, you know, or just to try to cause confusion and separation in the body of Christ. That's what it does. Its job is to cause division. But everything in here that we do, because we're people of God has given us these senses, our sight, our smell, our taste, our hearing, everything is in worship. So we have incense, we smell it, right? We can see it, everything around us, everything takes your mind to Christ. Right here behind me, the altar, you have those candles. What those candles represent is that Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. Always, always God. This is the gospel side, Jesus. That's the reason this candle never stands by itself, right? Alone, even though they're going out because we got to put wax in them. And this one is his humanity. That's the reason you're always supposed to read the gospel from this side or there and read the epistles or anything else from this place right here. So, I bet y'all didn't know that, did, right? That's cool, right? That Jesus, to remind us, this is the altar in heaven, right? Right here where I'm standing, where the veil was rent. And people can come into the presence of God now. We all have access to God through Christ Jesus. The pulpit there, with the, of course, y'all know what the sword is. That's pretty easy, right? The Word of God, the Word of Truth, sword of the Spirit. So everything in here, candles over here, the votive candles, those are 8-hour candles. Like when you say a prayer, that prayer continually is offered up before God for 8 hours, right? Very biblical thing in the book of Revelation. Go read it. You know, it's full of all kind of incense, the prayers of the people. What incense represents, when you see that incense going up around the altar, is just a sign of the prayers of the people. Our prayers going up to God. And it says it's a sweet aroma to him. So I think that's really cool, right? We get to kind of enter into this thing, kind of dress up, in other words. Like when we were little playing whatever, you got to dress up and you just kind of entered into that, right? As children, and we become children. And, you know, I think it's cool. I like these biker people. I like these biker people who ride Harleys and stuff like that. all of them have the stuff, right? They have the leather stuff and I thought, that is just really cool. It's almost like they never, still childlike to me, because I really like that, watching people wear all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what we get to do here, representing the kingdom. But saying all that to say, the white robe means that, this white means that you're forgiven. You're clothed with Christ, right? You're clean. You're sinless before the Lord. You're righteous before him. This is a righteous standing. This thing is it's called a stole, S-T-O-L-E, just representative of that we are yoked to Christ. It's a yoke, right? I'm yoked to Christ. I belong to him. And as a servant of God, I'm yoked to him. So that's what that means. Sometimes when we do weddings, we'll take this into the stole and we'll tie a knot around the people, the bride and the groom's hand, where the tying the knot comes from. That's where that term comes from, because they used to do that. They would tie the knot. They would get tied. Their hands would be tied that they're one now. Anyway, that's for another day. But just so you'll know why we do what we do. And it's always about, because when you look up here, man, what if I've been forgiven? I don't know about this. Well, look at this. You're clothed with Christ. You know, it's not about the man. I'm clothed with him, right? It's not about my humanity or my weakness. I'm clothed with Christ. So the armor of God is, think about this. Think about it being a person, that you're in Christ, you clothe yourself with Christ, and if I'm clothed with Christ, then I don't have to have any extra stuff, right? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, we get that, but against the rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our struggle. Our struggle is against demonic powers. It says, therefore... Now, you'll see these commands like, therefore, take up, you know. All of these verbs here are written in a tense called, we don't really have it in the English language, but in the Greek language, it's called an aorist tense. An aorist tense is kind of like a past tense thing, but it's a past tense thing that has present tense results, right? Something that kind of happened in the past that you get to enjoy now, right? Something that's already happened, like when you're taking up the armor, I'm clothed with Christ, that happened 2,000 years ago. I just get to enter into something that's already happened. So when it says take up, that means having already done that, right? That if you're in Christ, you have already taken up the armor of God. So it says, therefore, take it up. Realize this, the full armor of God, so that you can stand in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand in the evil day, everything to stand firm, right? Three times in a row is talking about how to stand firm, right? Because some days, if you haven't realized this yet, you will. Some days are worse than other days, you know? They are just some evil days, right? In the evil days, so you can stand firm, understand that you're clothed with Christ. You have the armor of God on you. And so that's what we stand in. I don't have to fear the enemy. I don't have to, as Bishop always says, you know, I believe there is a devil, but I don't believe in him, right? Meaning we don't give him any more power than he has. Having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, right? And having put on the breastplate of righteousness already, right? You've girded your loins in truth, right? Truth is in Jesus. You have as a breastplate of righteousness that you're standing in his righteousness, right? How righteous are you? Well, you're as righteous as he is, right? My righteousness is in a person. So when the devil hits me about you're just unrighteous, you're unholy, I can say I'm his righteousness, right? I'm in Christ Jesus. That protects me, my heart. I know we're going on this really quick. We just don't have time. But putting on the breastplate of righteousness, you've shod your feet, right, for the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is in my walking. I walk in peace, right? Jesus said, my peace will be in you, right? My peace is in you. My joy is in you, right? We have his peace. So I can walk in his peace. In addition to all, we take up the shield of faith, which extinguishes all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, right? So taking all this up, it tells us that the shield of faith extinguishes all the flaming missiles of the evil one that's shot my way, right? So again, the shield of faith is a person, right? We talk about this a lot, that we really do have, because we're in Christ, we have his faith, right? You are in union with you're in union with the presence of God, and you are in union with his faith, right? Faith is just something, I'm going to make it real simple for you, especially when it comes to the armor of God. Faith is resting in the ability and the power of another person, right? You put your faith into something, you're resting in the power, or especially here, you're resting in the power of Christ and his ability, right? If I'm resting in his ability, and it's Jesus, and I know that, then anything the enemy is trying to hurl my way, no matter what it can be, I can just simply rest in Christ, right? Taking up the shield of faith, what does that look like? Well, I'm just trusting in him. I'm resting in him, Lord. And I know nothing can overpower you, Lord, right? The Satan has nothing in you. I can rest in that. I'm taking up the shield of faith, trusting in this person. I'm in Christ, right? I can't tell you how many times, like when, you know, the missiles are coming, you know, hitting you in the head, trying to get in there, and you just start spouting truth, you know. Thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Lord, I thank you that you're going to lead me in your triumph. Lord, I thank you that you're good. You're protecting me right now. I'm clothed in Christ, right? And what happens is those things were just like ping, you know, just like ding, like hitting them. Just fall to the ground, right? The whole thing, again, about warfare, I say this all the time, is to hide itself so you won't recognize that as warfare. But when you do recognize it, then you can trust him to do it. Because think of that, Jesus stepping in front of you, taking all of them, and they just bounce right off of him, right? It's a great way to do warfare, y'all. And then I take up, you know, the shield of faith, and I have the helmet of salvation, which is the mind being protected. You have the mind of Christ, right? And the sword of spirit, the truth, the word of God, which is what I just told you. When I'm saying, Lord, thank you that you always lead me in your triumph of Christ, sword, like, boom, pierces him, right? I'm speaking truth. Lord, I thank you that you're in control, Jesus. You are, you know, blah, blah, on and on and on. Just truth. It's just like Scripture says in Revelation, you have this, John saw Jesus, and we saw him. He saw this two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. I always think of that when I see this passage about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He is the living Word. So when he's doing it and he's speaking it, it's a two-edged sword. And they, trust me, they get out of the way. They get out of there, right? Because he's bad to the bone. So we don't have a lot of time. Just quickly, just a little, we call it a homily, which means a little short thing. He's your armor. You are clothed with Christ, right? Rest in that. Resting in that is the greatest thing you'll do in warfare. That you are, he can't get to you, he can't touch you apart from Christ, right? And when you are resting in his victory, so and if you've heard me talk at all, I'll always say, just show up, you know? Joshua and those guys, the Lord had been promising them, when you go into this land, take possession of it. I have already defeated the enemy. They've already been defeated. Show up, right? All they had to do was show up with their stuff, you know? And he wiped them out, right? With no losses at all. So you're clothed. He's your armor. You have the mind of Christ. You have the helmet. He's your helmet of salvation. He's your righteousness, right? He's your everything. He's truth. It's all Jesus, and you are in him. So therefore, you don't have to stress if you forgot to put on a piece of the armor. You got it. You got all of it. There's no piece that that's left undone. So the more we walk in him and more we just realize that, then we can go about our day joyfully, right? Because he is. All right, well, let's stand.